Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, everybody. I want to welcome you to this Monday edition of the Preacher and the Miracle Man show for this Monday, August 13th, 2018. Hard to believe Midland Fair Week is here. One thing it means, sadly, it means that the end of summer is near. Labor Day will be here in about 3 weeks. And then after Labor Day, it's time to put away the boats. Time to send the kids back to school here in Michigan. And time to get ready for cooler weather. Right now, it's fair week. We still got a couple weeks of summer left. Thank goodness. Because I am not ready for it to be over yet. I'm not ready for summer to be done. I'm really not. But as I know, all good things must come to an end. Now, as for where I'm at right now, I'm here at McDonald's at 1711 South Saginaw Road here in Midland. On the last broadcast, I had said that I would be here at McDonald's tonight doing the show. So here I am. I'm a man of my word. So I do want to say right now that I want to thank every one of you who has chosen to hang out with me for the next while tonight. Pray that you'll be encouraged by the Word of God tonight, and that we'll have some fun along the way. There may be a song about the fair, or maybe the carnival or something at some point this week from me. I don't know if it'll be tonight, if it'll be tomorrow night, or it might be Wednesday night. I gotta think about it, think about what I want the lyrics to be. Maybe tonight. I gotta think of some lyrics and things about what I wanna do with it, you know, to make it really sound good so that I really know what I'm doing through the course of it. So I'm going to try to come up with works for it, and we'll see what happens. I'm still thinking about whether it's going to be a parody song based on maybe an old song or something, maybe. Maybe parody of like the Barney song or something. I'm trying to think of how it could sound like Barney. Well, if I decide to do it tonight, it'll be a bit later. But let me tell you right now, there are two things to me that in the past have really stood out to me. Oh, yeah. There are two things that have really stood out to me about Midland Fair in the past. Three, actually. One, this is in no particular order, but one is, one of them is the grandstand and how cool it is that at times you can hear, if there was a concert going on in the grandstand, you can hear the grandstand from like on the midway or other parts of the fair. It depends on when, what's going on. Another is the food. I have several different fair food favorites, one of which includes the corn dog. Another of which includes fries from two different vendors. One vendor is Frisky Fries, or Frisky Fries, I forget which. And the other vendor is Red Barn Fries. I like them both. Which will I go to this year? I don't know. And then also, Elephant Ears. Another one of my fair favorites. As far as fair food goes, I do not, however, bother playing with I don't bother playing with the cotton candy because you can get that a lot of other places now. Nor do I bother with those caramel apples. I like to stick to the basics of good old fair fried food. Fried fair food, I should say. A lot of county fairs will have fried chicken on a stick. I hope we have that somewhere at our fair. I need to go through the food places to find out when I go. Because I hope they have fried chicken on a stick. Because that's one of the fair foods I'd like to try. So that's the food. And then also, the rides. In the past, the rides have been an extremely integral part of the fair for me. Some years, possibly the most important part. You know, kind of depending. For example, 5 years ago, we had 9 high-energy thrill rides on that midway when we had Play World Amusements there. However, months later, I found out that was the last time they would be there. And these rides included ride greats like the Freak Out, the Ring of Fire, the Himalaya, Zipper, along with other awesome rides like the Remix, which is kind of like an orbiter, but it's taller and wilder, as well as something called the G-Force, which is even more wild. Now, we still have the Freak Out Himalaya, Ring of Fire, and the Gravitron ride called the Starship 3000. But when it comes to like those super thrill rides, that's all we have. Pain, when we got a company, North American Midway Entertainment, when that company is doing a couple different state fairs at the same time they're doing Midland Fair. Right now, NAME is in Indiana State Fair as well as Kentucky State Fair. I think we need to possibly look at getting a company like Big Rock Amusements or Arnold Amusements or maybe Skirbeck shows going forward. I want more big rides on the Midway. I really do. Because to me, some of my most favorite times at the fair have been centered around the Midway. Ride and Ride. Back in the Flair World days, there were several carnival workers that I knew. A couple of them were on major rides that I'd ride. Another was a really nice lady who worked at one of the games. And then Bozo the Clown. And he had this amazing whistle. I don't feel like doing it tonight, right now, but you might hear it in the next two shows. Oh. I changed my mind. I'm going to do it. He sounds like this. Knock him in the water, be next. High and Dry, be next to go down. La do 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 do. Come up here, shorty. Come up here and take down the Bozo. That's what he used to do. And I miss him. I can think of one year where he was right next to the Remix. One of the 2 years Remix was there. And one time when I was in line for the Remix, he had to corral people because the line had quite a few people in it for being right next to Bozo. So he had to kind of be a line corral. And so that was cool because that allowed me to get up more up close and personal. And to me, the Midway is one of the most integral parts, one of my favorites. It's also cool if they have a concert, you know, if you're elsewhere on the grounds, at times you can still hear the music. Or sometimes, like, if they're doing, like, a monster truck show, sometimes you can maybe hear that from outside the grandstand. But those are generally my favorite things about the fair. I do also, however, enjoy going in and petting some of the animals, you know, in those barns. But they're not right by the rides exactly. Because I like my Midway a lot. I really do. Speaking of rides and Carnival and Midway amusement, I will be going to, okay, it looks like I will be going to the Amazement Park, Cedar Point, on Friday. Right now, though, Friday morning, there is like a 60% chance of rain for Friday morning, but Friday afternoon and evening look good. If it's like gonna rain all day long, then I don't know what I would do. But hey, I talk about faith all the time on the show, and I'm gonna believe that it's not going to rain, and it's going to be good weather. And I'll be able to go down there and ride on my favorite roller coasters of all. Because, let me tell you, I live for those roller coasters. To me, riding on those roller coasters is like one of my biggest wishes. I can't say it's exactly a passion, but I really, 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 really enjoy them, though. But I don't do anything close to, like, making idols out of them or anything like that whatsoever. Because if I put anything like that ahead of God, it'd be an idol. So I don't do that. But I do, however, really enjoy Cedar Point, going on the rides. And they used to, in their some of their advertising in the 80s and early to mid-90s, they used to refer to Cedar Point Amusement Park as the Amazement Park. And personally, I love that. That is awesome marketing on their part, calling it the Amazement Park. Because now it's even more amazing than it was like 20 years ago, because they have a lot more 200-plus foot roller coasters, one of which is 420 feet, so more than double 200 feet. Another one is 300 feet. I'm talking about Millennium Force. No, Top Thrill Dragster and Millennium Force, in the order of which I said their height. The Dragster goes 120 miles an hour. Millennium Force, 93 miles an hour. Those are two of my favorites. And right now, I'm kind of, it's been that way for me in the years I've went a lot, that like, I've had like five or six that were all my favorites. Well, it's been hard for me to decide which ones of those I liked better. The ones I'm talking about are Millennium Force, Top Thrill Dragster, Maverick, Raptor, Magnum, and Val Robin. It's hard for me to decide which one of those six I really enjoy the most. It's hard. But it's all fun. And I should add to that list, assuming that I have as much fun at it as I think I'm going to have. And the one I'm talking about is Steel Vengeance. Steel Vengeance is awesome. Looks awesome. 200 feet at 70 miles an hour. Abundance of airtime. Airtime is a very big component of this ride, so it has me feeling excited. So my goal is to ride all seven of the rides I mentioned, plus Wicked Twister and a few others. We'll see, though. We will see, because for me, they have a lot of rides to choose from. They've won many awards, and there are certain coaster types that Cedar Point doesn't have, but Cedar Point has a lot more record-breaking coasters than anywhere else. It looks like I'll be going there Friday. A little more on Cedar Point as we go throughout the week. Now, with me being at McDonald's, you heard me eating a few minutes ago. I was eating a medium order of America's favorite fries. There was a coupon which had $1 off. No. I had a coupon which was free fries with any purchase, because they're doing the free McDonald's for life thing, where you order something using mobile order. You are entered into a sweepstakes where you could win McDonald's for life, which I think would be really cool. I had me an order of America's favorite fries, and also, which I was just drinking, was a medium Coca-Cola with no ice. And Coca-Cola will always be better than Dr. Pepper. Every time. Now, plans for tonight. For the show. Fair, Cedar Point, we already did that. Bible. Want to go to Joshua 10. And then Hebrews 11 and first two verses of Hebrews 12. And then I'm going to exhort based on what God has for me to give to you. And then we got some sports to talk about. The Tigers retired a jersey yesterday. I'll also let you know how the Tigers fared this weekend in the series against the Minnesota Twins. In addition, what is next for the Tigers, starting with this evening? Also, we have Detroit Lions football to talk about, first preseason game, and analysis. So what I think the Lions need to do better at going forward through the preseason and then getting ready for the regular season. So, to sum up the plan very briefly, Joshua 10, Hebrews 11 and 12. First two verses of Hebrews 12, actually. Tigers, lions. And that is my plan for the rest of the evening. On the show. First, though, very briefly, I want to tell you, those of you who are new to the show and you have friends and family that are interested in listening to this great show, well, they can be a part of this too. We want you to tell people how they can be a part of the show. That is why I take a couple minutes out of every show to talk about how people can be a part of the show. So, you go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, that website is blogtalkradio.com. Once you get on the website, you'll see a search bar. In that search bar, you'll type in Upfront Entertainment. After you type that in, you'll see a link there. And the link says Live in Large. We want you to click on that link, please. That's our channel page. We also have a follow button that we really want you to hit. Because here's what happens if you press the like button. You're going to start getting notified when we get ready to do shows. For example, tomorrow night we're going to do another show. And then Wednesday night we're going to do another show. So on and so forth. We do these shows Monday through Wednesday, starting at 6:30 p.m. And we generally run until somewhere between 7:45 and 8 o'clock. Just so you know. And so that's generally how we do this. And we always say it's a smart thing to listen to this program on your smart device. The website is compatible with iPhone, Android, other smartphones, as well as the computers. It's all up to you how you choose to listen. We just want you to be a part and listen to the show. If you want to get even more personal, you can call into the show and you can talk to me, the Miracle Man. We can pray together. You can call in if you want to give your life to Jesus. I can help you with that. I can encourage you if you need a voice of encouragement. I'm glad to be at your service. So if you need something, you're going through some stuff, please call into the show. We have a telephone number that you can call in at, and you can talk about generally whatever you want to talk about, as long as it's not politics. If you want to talk about politics, we're going to tell you to pray for your leaders that have authority over you and to vote in the elections, because it's very important. The telephone number to call into the show is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. You'll want to listen for the prompt. And then after you hear the prompt that says press 1 to be connected to the show, then once you press 1, you'll go through the call screener. My assistant Josh sitting over here, he'll let me know that we have a caller. And then I'm going to let you on the air. And you can talk to me. And as I said, we can talk basically about whatever you want to talk about. Want to talk about God, sports, whatever. All right. Now, open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I come to you right now. Right now, Lord, I worship you for who you are. I thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Thank you, Jesus, that you have allowed me to do this show. I thank you, Lord, that for these listeners tonight, wherever they may be, however they're listening, I pray right now that they will be ministered to as we study your word. I thank you that they are ready to receive, that their hearts will be receptive to the word, and their minds will be alert to what you have for them, so that they would be sensitive to what you have to say, Lord. And Lord, thank you that any of these people who do not know you, they will give their life to you right now, wherever they are. Lord, I thank you that you anoint me to speak to these people. I thank you right now, Lord, that I would say what you would have me say, and that you use me as an oracle, and that you strengthen my voice so that every word just comes right out the way you would have it. And Lord, I pray that these people will realize that when I speak to them, when I exhort, that it's through God. I pray that they will realize that. I thank you that these people have faith in you. Complete faith. They don't doubt, nor do they have unbelief. Thank you that they totally believe, Jesus, in you. Lord, I confess over the show right now, by faith. I use my faith right now to confess that an increase in listenership is coming to the show. Big increases in listenership, Lord. Finances are coming to the show in the name of Jesus. I thank you that sponsors and partners who want to help me are coming to the show. And I claim right now, Lord, that new equipment is coming to the show. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. And Lord, more importantly, I claim that souls come to the show, as getting people saved is the goal. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that tonight. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. All right. Let's open up our Bibles, please, if you got them, to Joshua chapter 10. Praise God, Joshua chapter 10. And we'll see what God has for us this evening. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're just looking for my space. And I want to encourage you, please, to please just follow along and just do whatever I do here for the next little bit. We want you to be a participant and not just spectators. So, if I sing, you sing. If I pray, you pray. I'm studying my Bible, so you study with me. When I exhort, you listen and pay attention. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you. So whatever I do at McDonald's, you do wherever you are. All right. I'll begin reading. You go ahead and catch up to me. Now, Adonai, Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had taken Ai and had totally destroyed it, doing to Ai and its king, just as he had done to Jericho and its king. We read about Jericho earlier. And that the people of Gibeon had made a treaty of peace with Israel and were living near them. He and his people were very much alarmed at this because Gibeon was an important city, like one of the royal cities. It was larger than Ai, and all of its men were good fighters. So Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, appealed to Hoham, king of Hebron, Piram, king of Jarmuth, Japhethah, king of Lachish, and Devev, king of Eglon. Come up and help me attack Gibeon, he said, because it has made peace with Joshua and the Israelites. Then the five kings of the Amorites, the kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon joined forces. They moved up with all of their troops and took up positions against Gibeon and attacked it. The Gibeonites then sent word to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal, "Do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us, because all of the Amorite kings from the hill country have joined forces against us." So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all of the best fighting. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you." After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel, who defeated them in a great victory at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road, going up to Beth Horon, and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makeda. As they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekiah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them from the sky. and more of them died from the hailstones than were killed by the swords of the Israelites on the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel. Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, "O sun, stand still over Gibeon. O moon, over the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped until the nation avenged it on its enemies. For it is written in the book of Jashar, "Sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down for about a full day. There has never been a day like it before." Or since a day when the Lord listened to, amen. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Then Joshua returned with all Israel to the camp at Gilgal. Verse 16 now. Now, the five kings had fled and had hidden in the cave at Makeda. When Joshua was told that the five kings had been found hiding in the cave at Makeda, he said, "Roll large rocks up to the mouth of the cave and post some men there to guard it. But do not stop. Pursue your enemies. Attack them from the rear and do not let them reach their cities, for the Lord your God has given them into your hands." So Joshua and the Israelites destroyed them completely, almost to a man. But the few who were left reached their fortified cities. The whole army then returned safely to Joshua in the camp at Makeda. And no one uttered a word against the Israelites. Joshua said, "Open the mouth of the cave and bring these five kings out to me." So they brought the five kings out of the cave, the kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon. When they brought these kings to Joshua, they summoned all the men of Israel and said to the army commanders who had come with them, "Come here and put your feet on the necks of their kings." So they came forward and placed their feet on their necks. Joshua said to them, "Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous. This is what the Lord will do to all the enemies you are going to fight." Then Joshua struck and killed the kings and hung them on five trees. And they were left hanging on the trees until evening. Sunset, Joshua gave the order, and they took them down from the trees and threw them into the cave where they had been hiding. At the mouth of the cave, they placed large rocks, which are there to this day. That day, Joshua took Makeda. He put the city and its king to the sword, and totally destroyed everyone in it. He left no survivors, and he did to the king of Makeda as he had done to the king of Jericho. Verse 29. Then Joshua and all Israel with them moved on from Makeda to Libnah and attacked it. The Lord also gave the city and its king to Israel's hand. So the city and everyone in it, Joshua put to the sword. He left no survivors there, and he did to its king as he had done to the king of Jericho. And then Joshua and all Israel with them moved on from Libya to Lachish. He took up positions against it and attacked it. The Lord handled Lachish, Avar, to Israel, and Joshua took it on the second day. The city and everyone in it he put to the sword, as he had done to Libya. Meanwhile, Horam, king of Gezer, had come up to help Lachish, but Joshua defeated him and his army until no survivors were left. Then Joshua and all Israel with him moved on from Lachish to Eglon, and they took up positions against it and attacked it.
We'll
see how that goes. Verse 35. They captured it that same day and put it to the sword and totally destroyed everyone in it, just as they had done to Lachish. Then Joshua and all Israel with him went up from Eglon to Harbon and attacked it. Then took the city and put it to the sword, together with its king, its villages, and everyone in it. They left no survivors. Just as at Eglon, they totally destroyed it and everyone in it. Then Joshua and all Israel with him, they turned around and attacked Debev. They took the city and the king with its villages and put them to the sword. Everyone in it, they totally destroyed. They left no survivors. They did to Debev and its king just as they had done to Libnah and its king and to Hebron. So Joshua subdued the whole region, including the hill country, the Negev, the western foothills, and the mountain slopes, together with all their kings. He left no survivors. He totally destroyed all who breathed, just as the Lord, the God of Israel, had commanded. Joshua subdued them from Kadesh Barnea to Gaza and from the whole region of Goshen to Gibeon. All their kings and their lands Joshua conquered in one campaign because the Lord, the God of Israel, fought for Israel. Then Joshua returned with all Israel to the camp at Gilgal. All right. Now, let's go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. we are going to, we read some about how Joshua destroyed some places. Now, we're going to read some on faith. And we're going to read, and then I'm going to exhort. So, as I said earlier in the last reading, I will say it again. I will begin reading. You go ahead and catch up to me. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did, and by faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke all of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks, even though Abel is dead. God's not dead. God's alive. That was talking about Abel, even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. That's awesome. For before he was taken, he was commended as a man who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. But with faith, it is possible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger, foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. They admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. They had been thinking of the country they had left. They would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, and he gave instructions about his bones. Faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose instead to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she had welcomed the spies, she was not killed with those who were disobedient. What more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released, so that they may gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. First two verses of Hebrews 12, then I will exhort. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on the freak out, the Himalaya zipper, freak out, let me think here. Oh, the G-Force, the remix of the Top Thrill Dragster, another great midway ride. Does it say that? Oh, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say focus on the midway. Instead, it says let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. I'm so glad that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and one day we will be there to meet him. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. just drinking some of my good old Coca-Cola. You know, I teased someone the other day and I told them maybe Coca-Cola was the wine that Jesus turned water into. Maybe that's how Coca-Cola was made. Nah, I know. That's not what happened. But I was teasing. All right. Seriously now. We just read a wealth of faith examples. All that stuff we read about Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. And though those fathers may have not received yet what they were believing for exactly, Jesus tells us, let me tell you what Jesus tells us. He says, if you shall ask for me in prayer and believe in me, if you believe in me, Jesus said, you shall receive what you are asking. The total of this exhortation is going to be faith and asking. Obviously, it's great to believe in God if you're believing for something, whether it be you're believing for finances, a new job, a new house, a new vehicle, a miracle in your body or elsewhere in your life, believing for one of your prodigals to come home. Or even if you just want to get closer to God, you have to ask. Obviously, the reading of the Bible and that you can do on your own. You want to see God in a certain way, you have to ask Him. But those other things I mentioned, you know, faith people believe God for things. So you pray to Him. God wants to know what you're up to. God wants to know. It's part of why we pray. And when you're living by faith, part of that is calling those things that are not as though they are. Praise God. Now, a verse in Matthew. In Matthew, it says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Praise God. I love that. A lot. I've heard this a lot, but it is very true. You have not because you ask not. So, you can't just think it in your head. You can't just think, I have big amounts of money. I have this great new job. God's going to help me. God is going to help me find a new car that I need. them. If you don't say those things at all and you just think them, even if you believe that God will do it, you got to ask God to help you. Because if you don't have it, could be maybe you didn't ask him. The Bible also says, and if you do ask, you ask amiss. So somehow you didn't do it properly. Now, I'm going to show you briefly a good way to ask. Lord Jesus, I claim right now, I claim, Father, that my body is healed according to your word. And I claim that all sickness and disease will leave my body according to your word and your scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. Now that is asking God to work for you. That's a great way to ask. You know, plead the blood. Because Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But and do you believe in God to do something for you? To move something, get those enemies out of your way. The Bible says, we've read it before, that I'm about to refer to, where it says, if you have faith as small as the mustard seed, you can say to this mountain. Now you have to say it to Jesus. But I mean it. You don't ask Jesus to move, but you can say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea in the name of Jesus, and it shall be done. It shall be done. It shall be done. I love that it shall be done thing. Because that means it'll be made manifest. Amen. Amen. And if you have mountain moving faith, then you're on a roll. And I will say that I say this a lot, but I will say it again. Faith is believing. It's really hard to have faith if you're doubting God, if you're doubting He's real, if you feel like maybe there's not a God, then that won't work for you. Also, you must have a relationship with Jesus. It's extremely important. Extremely important. Yeah. I'm going to leave it at that, and I'm going to pray, and then we're going to shift gears. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight, Lord. Thank you for what we studied in Joshua about how Joshua and the Israelites kept going and attacking these cities. Lord. I mean, they just kept attacking these enemies, Lord. And they had power over the enemies. And you helped them, God. And that you helped them, God. And Lord, I thank you that they had courage, Joshua and the Israelites. Lord, I thank you for faith. Thank you for this lesson on asking. And that part of faith is asking God. That you can't just do it in your head. That you have to ask it in prayer and believe. And we shall receive. Thank you for this word. I thank you, Lord, that we will all get this on the inside of us, and that we will always remember this. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. All right. Josh, Tiger game started at 7:10. Can you look up the score? Okay. So, Miracle Man Sports time is 7:43. I will not talk about tonight's game yet because I got my assistant looking up the score for me so I can give you the most up-to-date.
We're at 0-0, bottom of the second.
All right. So, right now, actually, in tonight's game, the Tigers and White Sox are tied. Our scoreless at 0 at the bottom of the second at Comerica Park in downtown Detroit. You may listen to the game on 790 AM WSGW in this area or on 104.9 FM WQBX. In other locations, please check local listings. Now for this weekend, 2 out of 3 in a series against the Twins at Comerica Park. Yesterday they were able to win 4-2 over the Twins in a series that saw Tigers number 47 retired as he was a great pitcher. He had a lot of complete games, like over 50 of them. And back in those days, you know, back in the early 1980s, it'd be common for a pitcher to have a complete game. Even if it was like 6-5, they wouldn't pull him after he gave up like 4 runs, even if it was the 8th inning. Where now, it's actually made it more special in a way now, I think, because now, in order to be in a complete game, you have to be doing really, really well. That's helped make it more interesting, more special, I think. But his number got retired, his jersey got retired, and it was so fitting that the Tigers played the Twins yesterday, as that's who number 47 played on was the Tigers and the Twins. Albeit he was more successful in Detroit than he was in Minnesota. Even though Minnesota did have some good years at the time. Good seasons at the time, and some good years after that. Even though Minnesota has not been in the World Series in many, many years, whereas Detroit was just in it 6 years ago. Even though the Tigers did win 2 of 3 games, doesn't do anything to really get them closer to the wild card because Cleveland keeps winning. And even if we were to even think about making the playoffs, we'd have to start scoring more runs. And not wasting a lot of the good pitching games. And we'd have to stop getting shut out so many times, which has plagued us a lot this year. And Matt Boyd is actually starting to become a good pitcher. He really is. So, go get him, Tiger. Now, let's talk Lions for a minute. The Detroit Lions on Friday went out to Oakland to play the Oakland Raiders at Oakland Coliseum out in California. And they lost 16-10. What do I have to say in terms of the analysis? That as of right now, here's what I must say. First string players, the first string looks really good. Pretty good. But second string, third string, they did not look very well. They weren't playing so well. That was part of what gave us a lot of the struggle was the second string and third string. What does this mean for us? At least right now, based on what we saw Friday night, it means that we would have to stay really healthy in order to really be successful. Hopefully we can get some improvement out of some of the second string and third string players. Because let's face it, in football, it's football. Somebody's going to get hurt. You're going to have to get a second stringer of at least a couple of positions in there. So we need to know that they'll be able to do it and do well at it. Because that's going to be real important, is to have depth. Let me explain to you about what depth means in football. If you have good depth, that means that you can have good, solid players, not only in your first string, but also in your second string and your third string as well. That way, even though health is always a factor, it can make it so that, for example, missing one of your first string wide receivers, like missing a Golden Tate, for example, and having a second string in there instead, wouldn't be such a huge adjustment if you have really good depth. If you don't, that can really come to haunt you as a team. So, that's why health is important, and so is depth. And next for the Lions is Friday night, they will play Tampa Bay. 8 p.m. game time. I will most likely probably still be at Cedar Point riding some more rides. But I'm sure I'll catch the highlights after or something. We'll see. So, oh, one more thing. Tiger Woods thing. I was really happy that Tiger Woods finished second at the final major this year. It shows that he could maybe have a little bit of some potential left. He won't be back to the Tiger of old, but it was good to see that at least he came close. Because the winner had to stave off a charge from Tiger Woods in order to win. And so, good job, Tiger Woods. So, with that, I want to say to everybody, God first, God always. Good night, everyone, and I will see you all tomorrow evening.